Isaiah 14. Let's turn there, please. Isaiah chapter 14. Interesting passage tonight. It records for us the fall of Lucifer, who is referred to in this passage as the king of Babylon. Remember last time we looked at Isaiah, we looked at Babylon and saw that Babylon was only a literal city, but it is representative of the future spiritual one world government that will take place during the tribulation period over which the Antichrist will rule. And so it's not surprising that he's referred to in this passage as the king of Babylon. So beginning in verse 4, "Thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon and say, how hath the oppressor ceased, the golden city ceased? The Lord hath broken the staff of the wicked and the scepter of the rulers. He who smote the people in wrath with a continual stroke, he that ruled the nations in anger is persecuted and none hindereth. The whole earth is at rest and is quiet, they break forth into singing. Yea, the fir trees rejoice at thee, and the cedars of Lebanon, saying, since thou art laid down, no feller has come up against thee. Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. And they shall speak and say unto thee, art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vials. The worm is spread unto thee, and the worms cover thee. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? All the kings of the nations, even all of them, lie in glory, every one in his own house. But thou art cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch, and as the raiment of those that are slain, thrust through with a sword that go down to the stones of the pit, as a carcass trodden under feet. Thou shalt not be joined with them in burial, because thou hast destroyed thy land and slain thy people. The seed of evildoers shall never be renowned. Prepare slaughter for his children for the iniquity of their fathers, that they do not rise, nor possess the land, nor fill the face of the world with cities. For I will raise up against them, saith the Lord of hosts, and cut off from Babylon the name and remnant and son and nephew, saith the Lord. I will also make it a possession for the bittern and pools of water, and I will sweep it with the besom of destruction, saith the Lord of hosts." So tonight we consider Lucifer's fall. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would use your word in our lives tonight. Give us your wisdom and guidance and presence. We give you this service and commit it to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So in verse 4, he is referred to as the oppressor. As the oppressor. Now, we all understand that he has been an oppressor during the church age, but this will especially come true in the tribulation period. We looked last time, a fortnight ago, at Babylon there in Revelation 17 and 18, and how it will be that spiritual kingdom, that one world government that rules over the whole earth, and it will be ruled by the Antichrist. And that's primarily in again, chapter 17 and 18 of Revelation, when this king of Babylon will oppress the earth and rule and reign over the earth as God, which is what he's always wanted. Notice in verse 6, the Bible, or verse 5, it mentions a staff and a scepter. And then in verse 6, it says, he who smote the people in wrath with a continual stroke, he that ruled the nations. Notice that nations, plural. We have to remember, if we go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 this evening, go turn there if you would, 2 Corinthians 4, 4, that the devil is the god of this world. And so it's no surprise that God is saying he ruled the nations. Now, yes, the nations have have had kings, they've had rulers, they've had presidents and prime ministers and so forth. But ultimately, it's the devil that rules the nations. And we must never forget that. Notice 2 Corinthians 4:4. The Bible says, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." The devil here is referred to as the God of this world. Now look in John chapter 12, if you would, verse 31. And we'll see that he's not only referred to as the God of this world, but here in John 12:31, as the prince of this world. Jesus speaking in John 12:31, it says, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out." So the devil has been ruling the nations for a very long time. For 6,000 years, essentially. And God has allowed this to be the case. And as we'll see, he is our enemy. But the one who's on our side is stronger than him. Amen? And that's the thing we must never forget tonight as we look at the devil's fall here in this passage. It says in verse 9 of our passage, "Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming." We must not forget that the devil's end is recorded for us in Scripture. Let's go to Revelation chapter 20 and we'll see this. And you know what? The devil knows the Bible better than we do. Remember, he tried to use it against Jesus when he was tempted in the desert. He definitely used it against Eve. He knows the Word. He knows what Revelation 20 says. But he's going to fight all the way until it comes to pass. Probably hoping that he can maybe change the outcome. But you can't do that with God's program. But he's been trying. He tried to kill Jesus Christ through Herod. He's tried to kill the line of Jesus Christ by trying to kill all the Jews over and over and over again in history. He keeps trying to thwart God's plan, but he can't. And notice here in Revelation 20, verse 1, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season." Interesting, in this verse 2, we get four different names and titles for the devil in that one verse. He's referred to there as the dragon, the old serpent, the devil, and Satan. None of those things are positive, are they? He's God's enemy. But for 1,000 years, he will be bound in the bottomless pit. And then eventually, if you stay there in Revelation chapter 20, the Bible says, the devil, verse 10, "The devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." So at the end of the kingdom, he will be let out of the bottomless pit for just a little while. But then at the end of the kingdom, he's cast into the lake of fire, and we're finished with him. Praise God. In the meantime, he is Lucifer, and he is our enemy. If you go back to our passage, the Bible tells us here that Lucifer, which is another name, we've already seen Satan and the devil, and referred to as the old dragon and so forth, but he is a musical being. Isn't that interesting? Notice it says in verse 11, "Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vials." What's the devil have to do with instruments? Well, that should take us over to Ezekiel 28. So let's turn over there, because we'll find out that sure enough, the devil had a very unique position in heaven before he fell. As we'll see here in Ezekiel 28, the Bible teaches that there are seraphims, the Bible teaches there are cherubs, but there was only one anointed cherub that covereth, and that was Lucifer. Lucifer, before the fall, was not a bad name. That was his name. Notice Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 13. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardius, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, the gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. And I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Isn't this an interesting passage? So we find that sure enough, it talks there in verse 13 about his pipes and his tabrets. And we just read about his vials in Isaiah 14. And so we find that the anointed cherub that covereth was not only given that special privilege of being the one that hovered over the throne of the creator of the universe, but that he was musical. Most likely he somehow created music in heaven prior to his fall. So should we be surprised if he tries to use music against us now? We shouldn't. We must remember he's the God of this world. But he was beautiful. It says in verse 17, thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. When we think of the devil, what do we think of? Evil and ugliness and snakes and serpents. But in heaven, he was beautiful. Probably one of the most beautiful creatures, if not the most beautiful creature God ever created. Because he had that position that no other creature ever held. The anointed cherub that covereth. The one who actually hovered over the throne of Almighty God. And what was his fall? Well, let's go back to Isaiah 14 and we will find out what the fall was about. Verse 12, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. So if you look at verses 13 and 14, all you have to do is circle the word I, and you see the problem. Now we see where pride came from and why pride is our biggest problem. And really, most sin can be boiled down to pride when you get to the bottom of it. The devil was beautiful. He was unique. He was powerful. But God gave him a free will the way he gave all of his creation. And the devil made a decision to try to usurp the authority of our Creator. Can you imagine that? To try to usurp the authority of his Creator. Remember God, we just read in Ezekiel 28, God said, I created thee. God made the devil. God made Lucifer as the anointed cover of the cherub that covereth, and the devil allowed pride to creep in and said, I am beautiful and I am powerful and I am unique, but that's not enough. I want, what's it say? I want God's throne. I want to be God. It's not enough that I've been created to be so unique and so powerful and so special for the Creator. I want to be God. I want God's throne. And he had a serious eye problem, didn't he? I. And so he was cast down, as God says in verse 12, fallen from heaven. Fallen from heaven. Now, the devil has a lot of names and titles in the Bible. We actually studied this in our doctrines class this last week, right, James? I'll just read some of them to you. These are in alphabetical order. I'm sorry, they're not in scriptural order, but he is referred to as the accuser of our brethren, as the adversary, as the angel of light, the anointed cherub, Beelzebub, Belial, the devil, the dragon, the enemy, the father of lies, the god of this world, Leviathan, Lucifer, the murderer, the old serpent, the prince of the devils, the prince of the power of the air, the prince of this world, the roaring lion, Satan, the serpent, the son of the morning, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, the tempter, the wicked one, and the wolf. Wow. That's who we're up against. And, you know, when you study those things, it almost seems like we can't win. I mean, he's powerful. Think about what God created him to be and what he still is today. I mean, he rules all the nations. He's the God of this entire world. So he's very, very powerful. And we remember when he tempted Jesus there in Matthew chapter 4, he took him up to that high place. And the Bible says he showed him all the kingdoms of the world. And he said, all of these will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. And they were in his power to give. Now, of course, Jesus isn't going to worship the devil. Jesus created the devil. But the devil was offering Jesus all the kingdoms of the world. Just in exchange for what? To be God for a little while. To be worshipped. It's what he's always wanted. Since he fell prior to the creation of man, what's he wanted? To be God. To notice he says in verse 14, I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. Now, you've heard me say this in Sunday school, but go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We'll see that for a very, very short time, God gives the devil his wish. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Notice verses 3 and 4 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. The Bible says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except to come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped. Here's the key. So that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. I have those three phrases underlined there. As God, of God, and is God. This is what the devil's wanted for 6,000 years. Well, we don't know how long. We don't know that the fall was just before the creation of man. It could have been a million years. We don't know. Time is nothing to God. But we know prior to the creation of man, this happened. The devil fell. Why? Because of pride. Because he wanted to be God. And God gives him what he's wanted for a very short time during this tribulation period. A portion of 7 years, he gets to sit in the temple of God, claiming that he is not the devil, but that he's God. And as I've said in Sunday school, when people are worshiping the Antichrist in the tribulation period, they do not believe they're worshiping the devil. They will believe that they're worshiping God. They will be deceived into believing that he is God, which is what he's always wanted. And when they get to the end of the tribulation, those that are still alive, they're going to be shocked. Well, we were worshiping the devil the whole time, and we thought we were worshiping God. But of course, it'll be too late. And so God promises him. He gives him his end here in Isaiah 14. He says, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell. We read that in Revelation chapter 20. Verse 16, they that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms? Let's turn to Romans chapter 16, if we could, and look at an exciting verse for us. Because I don't know about you, somebody asked me once if it's okay to hate the devil. That's a good question because the Bible says we're to love our enemies. But if you study it out, that command to love our enemies does not include the devil. From what I can see in Scripture, it's okay to hate the devil. Because the devil is anti-God, if you will, the antithesis of God. And there's nowhere in the Bible that we're told to be patient with the devil or to love the devil or to give tolerance to the devil. We are told to resist the devil and fight the devil. But notice in Romans 16, verse 20, "And God and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly." Now, I'm not going to say I understand what God is saying exactly is going to happen. But I do know that God is giving us a glimpse of the fact that we somehow get to witness the final judgment of the devil. That somehow we're involved or we get to be there. Otherwise, God wouldn't have written it this way, that he will bruise Satan under our feet. Now, that's what they did in the old days. When one king beat another king, the ultimate sign of conquering and of submission to that king was they would lay him on the ground and he would put his foot on his neck to say, "I won, I've defeated your kingdom, and I am now the winner." And that was a symbol that they went through, this thing. And God is using that to say, be patient. Lucifer is powerful. Lucifer is running the world. He hates God. He hates God's children. He hates God's churches. He hates families. But one day, those of us that are Christians, God will bruise Satan under our feet. Imagine that. So what does the Bible tell us? Let's go to James chapter 4. When it comes to the devil, Lucifer, Satan, the serpent, the roaring lion that walketh about seeking whom he may devour, are we commanded to be afraid of him? No. Are we commanded to run from him? No. But we are commanded to resist him. Think about that. Look at James chapter 4. "Submit yourselves therefore unto God," verse 7, sorry. "Submit yourselves therefore unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." So we're not told to run. We're not told to turn and run. We're told to resist him. Isn't that something? That weak little man over whom the entire world is ruled by the devil is told to resist the devil. How in the world can we resist the devil? Well, Jesus taught us, of course, in Matthew 4 with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It is powerful enough to resist the devil. When the devil tempted Jesus those three times, Jesus only did one thing all three times. He said, "It is written." He just quoted the Scriptures, and the Bible says the devil left. God says, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Think about that. That tells me we don't have to fear him. Because what does it say in 1 John 4:4? "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." What is that verse saying? Jesus is greater than the devil. And Jesus is in us, in the person of the Holy Ghost. So we actually are the temple of our Creator, who is the creator of the devil. We don't have to fear. Now, is he strong? Does he cause us trouble? All the time. I mean, we look to some of these words God uses. He's the tempter. He's our adversary. 1 Peter 5:8 says that he walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Remember Jesus told Peter there? He said, "Peter, I've prayed for you because the devil wants you." And for a short time, the devil had him when he was denying the Lord. What's the Bible say in 1 Peter 5:8? "Be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may." Be sober, be serious about our Christianity, and be vigilant. Be on the lookout, because the devil is powerful. He does have a lot of helpers. If we'll be sober, if we'll be vigilant, we can resist him and not have to fear him. And there's not one place in the Bible where we're told to run from him or be afraid of him, but instead we're told to resist him and wait for the day when we get to watch him be chained for 1,000 years and then thrown into the lake of fire to be tormented day and night forever and ever. Till that day comes, the devil is someone that we should respect, but that we should resist when he comes into our life, which he will. That's what he does. He tempts. He tries to mess with our thoughts. He attacks us. But we have something that's more powerful than him, and he knows it. He hates this book. He's been attacking it ever since the garden. So, Lucifer will fall. He already fell out of heaven, and he will fall eternity, for eternity, when God casts him in the lake of fire. Now we've learned a little bit more about him, but let's not be afraid of him. Let's respect him, but resist him.